Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, I want to say welcome or welcome back to the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. Whether this is your first time connecting with us or your 100th time connecting with us, we certainly hope it's not your last. And we hope that this time together helps you take a step in your relationship to and with God. We're in the fourth part of a series called Life Apps, where we're looking at different practices that we can implement that will make life better and us better at life, with the underlying premise in the entire series that it is application that makes the difference. A symbol is something that represents something else. We use symbols to communicate an idea, an object, or a relationship. And virtually every symbol has some kind of story behind it. And to really understand the symbol, we have to understand the story behind it. This is especially the case with the symbol that represents the Life App that we explore together today. So as we get to that symbol, I thought it might be interesting to do a little bit of a symbol trivia game. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put up on the screen different symbols. And we're going to give you the opportunity to put into the chat section of where you're watching what you think that symbol is and what it might represent. Now, we'll do our best to keep up with you and give you time to do that. But we're also probably going to have you keep up with us. So if we go a little faster than you're able to put into the chat, just accept our apologies up front. So, excuse me. The first symbol. Go ahead and throw that up on the screen and then put into the chat box what you think that symbol is and what it represents. Well, as many of you know, this is the peace symbol. And what's interesting, one of the things that's interesting about the peace symbol is that there are actually three different versions of the peace symbol. And one of them also represents victory. And peace is basically a state of calm or a freedom from disturbance. So, the first symbol is the peace symbol. The next symbol, go ahead and put what you think that is in the chat section and what you think it might represent. But this symbol is known as the yin-yang symbol, and it is from the realm of Chinese philosophy. And basically, this symbol represents the idea that complementary parts create a whole that is greater than the sum of the parts. For example, you have the part of light, and you have the part of an object, and the sum of those two complementary parts is shade or a shadow. So, how about the next symbol? What do you think this symbol is or represents? Well, this symbol is the dollar sign, and it represents monetary currency, money, cash, something that a lot of us tend to pay a lot of attention to. Next symbol. The next symbol, put in the chat box what you think it is. This is known as the infinity symbol, and it comes from the world of mathematics, and it represents a line or a number that never ends. Next symbol. Well, you're probably already throwing into the chat box really quickly that this is the Superman symbol. And originally, this symbol represented the DC Comics superhero known as Superman. But over time, it also evolved to become a symbol of strength and sometimes almost a sense of invincibility. Next symbol. Well, this symbol simply says things are okay. They're not great, but they're good. And so we use the okay symbol to communicate when things are okay. Next symbol. Well, you probably have recognized this symbol, and you recognize it as the symbol that means no. One of the most common forms that we see this symbol connected with is the signs that say no smoking around different buildings and different properties. So, next symbol. This symbol is the copyright symbol, and it symbolizes or represents the idea that the material being presented is owned and the right is copied to an individual or a group or an organization. So, next symbol. Well, this symbol is the recycling symbol. And it means that the material an object is made from is recyclable. Or sometimes if you see it on a container, it represents a location where you can drop off recyclable items. So next symbol. This symbol is the cross. And to really understand this symbol, we have to understand the story behind the symbol and what it has come to represent throughout history. In the Greco-Roman culture, the cross was a symbol of death and punishment. But how we have come to know the cross historically, or to view the cross historically, is a little bit different than how the Roman culture actually used it in the punishment of death. So we have come to see the cross like what we see here, kind of as a lowercase T. But the cross that was used in the Roman culture was really kind of more like this. It was more of an uppercase T. The horizontal part of the cross was known as the stipus, and it stayed in the ground all the time. The horizontal part of the cross was known as the staros, and it would be attached to the vertical part of the cross, and an individual would be hung or nailed or tied to the staros, where they would literally hang until they asphyxiated to death, while their feet were tied or nailed to the stipus part of the cross. We also have become accustomed to seeing the cross raised in the air about 15 to 22 feet. But in the Roman practice of using the cross for crucifixion, it was raised about 6 feet or so. And the reason for this is because everyone that had the opportunity to witness a crucifixion would come eye to eye with the individual being crucified and eye to eye with the message that Rome was communicating in crucifixion. And anyone who came eye to eye with the crucifixion, any crucifixion, would never forget it or the message being communicated. The cross was the instrument of Jesus' death. And it wasn't just Rome communicating a message that day. There was another kingdom communicating a message, a far greater kingdom than the kingdom of Rome, communicating a far greater message than the message of fear that the Roman government was communicating. The kingdom of God was communicating a message the day Jesus was crucified. The kingdom of God was communicating a message that forgiveness is found in the cross. And that as a result of forgiveness, we can overcome our past mistakes and the mistakes that have been done to us. And that we can move past those mistakes because of the forgiveness that's found in the cross. But when it comes to the mistakes that we make, which we oftentimes try to call mistakes, But really, they're not mistakes. We do them on purpose, and they're nothing more than sin. But when it comes to our mistakes, our sins, we tend to think that the life app of forgiveness is a really, really good application. But when it comes to the wrongs and mistakes and sins that have been committed against us, we sometimes become a little more hesitant to apply the app of forgiveness. If we're brutally honest, in situations where we're the ones who have been wronged, we tend to want to either take revenge or to hold a grudge. And when we do either one of those, what we fail to realize is that revenge isn't always as sweet as we believe it is, and that a grudge usually only holds on to the person holding the grudge. And so when we seek revenge or we hold on to a grudge, we take a step back from the kind of life that God intends for us to experience and the kind of life that he intends for us to experience when he sent Jesus and Jesus died on the cross, offering forgiveness to all of us. With Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus faces all of the things that we've ever done wrong and looks us in the eye. He comes eye to eye and says, "You're forgiven." And in Jesus' death on the cross and the forgiveness found in Jesus' death on the cross, it allows us to come face to face, eye to eye with the wrongs that have been done to us, and to be able to embrace the truth that forgiven people become forgiving people. There is a path. There is a choice. There is a way that is far better than revenge taking or grudge holding. In a letter that he wrote to the first century church in Rome, the early church leader Paul kind of reveals this path. And here's what he writes. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." There was a Jewish practice, part of the Jewish law that basically communicated an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And what this idea was is that if someone did something wrong to you, you should, for restitution, for repaying them for what they've done to you, do something comparable in nature to them. If someone damaged your eye, you damaged their eye. If someone knocked your tooth out, you knocked their tooth out. This was the Jewish system of justice. But then Jesus came along, and he said very clearly, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, turn the other cheek. Forgive one another as I've forgiven you. And then Paul comes along and he reinforces the idea that Jesus said and turn the other cheek when he says, do not repay evil for evil. Our tendency is to hold on to what's been done to us in the form of a grudge. Our tendency is sometimes to even hold on to what we've done in the form of a grudge against ourselves. And neither of those lead down the path that Paul communicates of not repaying evil for evil. Here's a little bit more about what Paul says. Instead of repaying evil for evil, he says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Well, our tendency is to pay back evil for evil. And Paul says that as good as that feels in a moment, it may not be the right thing to do. And as good as it feels in a moment, it may not be in the best interest of the relationship or in the best interest of those around you. And it may only feel good in the moment. It may only feel good in the short term. And he says, instead of repaying evil for evil, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So instead of doing what feels good in the moment with revenge or payback or grudge holding, do what is right. Be intentional. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone involved in the situation and the wrongs that have been committed. And maybe in doing what is right for everyone involved, there's a way to include doing what is right for those who may not even be involved, because we never know the impact our choices and decisions have on others around us who are watching. Paul goes on to say, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, have you ever noticed that there are some people who it's impossible to live at peace with? They refuse to live in a state of calm or a state that is free from disturbance. There are people who just seem intent on living in the midst of tension and conflict continually. Paul says that there are people that it is possible to not live at peace with. He says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. So sometimes it's not possible, and sometimes it doesn't depend on you. But when it does depend on you, live at peace with everyone. So sometimes these people that make it impossible to live at peace, the best thing we can do is to place distance between ourselves and them. Just because someone makes a decision that they refuse to live at peace doesn't mean that that person has to disrupt our peace. We don't have to spend time with people who want to live in continual tension and conflict with us. However, a little asterisk to that, because there are people that we do have to spend time with. There are people that are a part of our lives and will continue to be a part of our lives who are peace challenged. And so just because you're in a relationship with someone that's a little bit peace challenged doesn't mean that you have to walk away from every relationship where there's a little challenge of peace. Now, that gets a little more complex and a little more involved than I have time to address today. But in these relationships, we don't have to be doormats. We don't have to continually put ourselves in a position of being hurt and wounded over and over and over again. But there are also relationships that are part of our lives that need and are required to stay a part of our lives. And Paul says, as far as it depends on you, don't take the approach in those relationships of repaying evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Our tendency is to want to pay back or take revenge. And here's what Paul says about that. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So when we take revenge, when we choose the path of revenge, whose responsibility are we assuming according to what Paul writes here? Go ahead and type your answer in the chat box. It's not a trick question. When we take on the responsibility to pay back someone for what they have done to us, whose responsibility are we assuming? Now, sometimes we like to play God. But how many of us really think we're very good at being God? How many of us actually think we're better at being God than God is at being God? And here's another interesting angle on this. How many of us really want all the other responsibilities that come with being God, other than paying people back for what they've done to us and making sure we get everything we want? Other than those two responsibilities, who wants all the other responsibilities that come with being God? Part of living in forgiveness is trusting God to be God and embracing and accepting and understanding the reality that I am not. Do not take revenge, because revenge or holding a grudge really impacts us as much, if not more, than everyone else around us. Well, Paul's not quite done. He actually gives us an alternative, a different choice, a different path. And he says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, I don't know about you, but the idea of heaping burning coals on my enemy's head sounds like a pretty good idea to me. I think the hang-up for me, and maybe for you, and maybe for us in general, is the being kind to the other person who's wronged us. So here's the thing. When we were growing up, most of us at one point in time were told by our parents or our grandparents or an aunt or an uncle or someone that when someone has wronged us, when someone's making life difficult for us, that we should kill them with kindness. Anybody ever tell you that? Anybody ever think when you were told that it was just a load of bunk? Well, how many of us have now told our kids or our grandkids or our nieces or nephews or some child that's in our life in some way that they should have take the approach of killing others with kindness? Now, you know what? When you tell them that, they're going to think it's a load of bunk, because in the moment, the idea of killing someone with kindness is not our default. Our default is to seek revenge, to hold a grudge, to not forgive what has been done to us. But the reality is that forgiven people forgive people. And Paul says, not only that, but do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we have a choice. We can look at the wrongs that we've done and hold on to them in such a way that they hold us back from moving forward in life. We can look at the wrongs that have been done to us, and we can seek revenge or hold a grudge or in some way hold on to them in a way that keeps us from moving forward in life. We can become overcome by those things, or we can overcome them. We can choose the path of forgiveness. We can release the grip of the grudge, and we can allow God to be the one to take revenge, because forgiveness is found in the cross. The forgiveness found in the cross allows us to overcome and to move forward. Now, please don't misunderstand. This isn't to say that whatever wrongs you've committed or whatever wrongs have been committed against you aren't a big deal and don't matter. Because some of the wrongs that we've committed and some of the wrongs that have been committed against us have been so harsh and so severe that they have shaped us in many, many ways. But there is a path of forgiveness. Forgiveness found in the cross isn't something that was just for people 2,000 years ago. The forgiveness that's found in the cross is available to anyone and everyone who would choose to place their trust in what Jesus accomplished on the cross to provide the path of forgiveness. It allows us to receive forgiveness, and it allows us to grant forgiveness. It is not always an easy path, but it is a path that will make life better and us better at life. So as we wrap up today, who do you need to forgive? And what do you need to forgive them for? Who do you need to seek forgiveness from? And what do you need to seek forgiveness for? And in your relationship with God, what do you need to seek forgiveness for from Him? It is applying forgiveness that allows us to overcome and move forward. Let me pray for you as we close out this time together. Dear God, thank you for this incredibly intense letter from Paul, where we learn that repaying evil for evil and seeking revenge and holding a grudge isn't the most effective path in wrongs that we've committed or wrongs that have been committed against us. And thank you for the cross. And thank you for Jesus being willing to go to the cross to provide the path of forgiveness in our relationship with you, which frees us, which releases the grip of the grudge in us to become people who forgive others. God, this is such an incredibly challenging application, especially when we've been the ones who have been wrong. And so I pray for each and every person who's connected with this application today, that we will discover a way to live in the forgiveness that you have so graciously provided and extended to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.